له لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العظيم. I begin in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, and I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that His beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the successful ones both in this life and in the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. As we Muslims in the United States live in this country and try to be as obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our protector, and our sustainer, many a times we go through various different challenges. Many of the challenges that we've gone through in the last few years have been external challenges. Challenges that we face from individuals who do not practice our faith, who do not understand our religion, and who do not wish to understand our religion, and many individuals whom have not only misunderstood our faith, our religion, but at the same time wish to harm us. And all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have tried our best to remain firm and strong in front of these challenges that we have faced and that we keep on continue facing on a daily basis. One of the things that I personally have faced in the last few months is that every time I fly into the country, at the immigrations, they put this big red M on my car, the boarding the card that you have. And as soon as I pick up my luggage, it's as if they're waiting for me. You know, there's just someone just shows up like a jinn out of nowhere, and then they say, "Sir, can you follow me?" And one of the first questions they ask you is, "What do you do?" And you would understand this. How many? Is there anyone here that goes fishing? You know, when you go fishing and you catch a really big one, you get really excited, really large 20-pounder trout. And so I tell them, I'm the Imam. For them it's like, yes, 50-pound trout, yes, finally got it. And the point I'm trying to make is, a personal thing is that as I flew in last week, the last question that I asked before I left the United States Customs was, "So is this going to be a normal standard procedure that every time I fly into the country I'm going to get pulled aside?" But I understand that I'm a citizen, and I get off much easier than a lot of individuals who hold green cards. Right? There are people who hold green cards who are not even able to board flights. Just as it happened in the last week, a young woman with two young children was not able to board a flight from London to fly into San Francisco. She was delayed, she missed two flights, and she finally made it to the third. Sort of a long story short, we face many external challenges, and we've remained strong and firm, and we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that firmness and make our matters easy for us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. In doing so, what we have noticed in our community internally is that we are trying to become as united as possible. We've come to realize that there is a common, I wouldn't like to use the word enemy, but we have a common goal to accomplish. And in trying to reach our goal, we need to be as a community, as united as possible. This word unity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Quran in various different places. Various different scholars speak about it. But in using this concept of unity, we have to be very careful. We cannot break the bounds and the barriers of Sharia in being united. Just for the sake of unity. We find that in our own community and communities around the country and different parts of the world, there are so many things that we are doing wrong in trying to attain this concept called unity. In Islam, we are commanded to do many things. And in trying to attain the level that we're supposed to achieve and the common goal that we have, we still have to remain firm in following the Sharia and following the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in following the teachings of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in following the strong history that we have for the last 1400 years. That is why when we look into the Sharia, if we study the Sharia, we find that there are four sources of Sharia: the Quran, the Hadith, and then there's Ijma', consensus of the Ummah. It's considered very important. And Qiyas, analogy. But the first is the Quran, then the Hadith, and then Ijma', consensus of the Ummah. And then even within consensus, there are different kinds of consensus. We have consensus of the scholars, and so we have consensus of the Sahaba, and then the consensus of the scholars, and so forth. I mean, without going into a lot of detail. And so as we accept our deen, as we face new matters that we do in our community, whether it be today or wherever it may be, we have to be very careful in accepting these things. Which reminds me of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam says, "Da'ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk." Leave those things which are doubtful for those things that are not doubtful. In other words, if there is anything which has a doubt, then we shall not and should not do it. We should try our best to refrain from it. Our lives have become like the yellow light that we see when we're driving, right? When you're driving down the road and you see a green light, it means go. The yellow light basically means slow down and stop because it's going to turn red. But rather than slowing down and stopping, it's very normal for individuals to press on the accelerator, speed up to go through. That's exactly how many of us are living our lives as Muslims. That when we see something doubtful, rather than refraining from it, we say, well, there's a difference of opinion, so it's okay if I go ahead and do it. Our attitude should be quite the contrary. That if there is a doubt, if there is a difference of opinion, then I would rather go with that which is filled with taqwa, which is filled with the conscience of Allah and the fear of Allah, that I would rather not do it than do it and get in trouble. But no, we want to take the route because all in all, we want to do what suits us. All in all, we want to do what suits us. What's easy for us. It's because nowadays, we don't accept, because obviously, you know, we have good enough excuses. Deen is easy, you know, Allah made the religion very, we have all these philosophical arguments. And in we use these philosophical arguments that we have to try to make our deen as easy for us as possible, so much so that many a time we end up doing things which are doubtful, where the Prophet ﷺ told us to refrain from it, and many a time after you do one thing that is doubtful after another, we end up doing things that are haram. Every individual, including myself, we should look into ourselves rather than point fingers at others. What is it that I do? There are things that I do that are doubtful. And I'm so used to doing them that I don't even care anymore that they are doubtful. We just carry on going. Coming to what I wish to mention, and I don't wish to go on for too long. This is an issue that we discuss each year after year. And there's certain groups that have tried to provide a common solution to the problem that we have, not only in this country, around the world, which we term as moon fighting. It's definitely not moon sighting. And this year it's actually been proven that it's not moon sighting. Right? It's actually been moon sighting. The ru'yah of the hilal. To see the moon. Right? To see the moon. And I think we have to be very careful here. We don't want to point fingers at anyone. We don't want to harm anyone's feelings. But every individual should try to the best of their ability to understand what it is that is happening and what it is that has happened for the last so many centuries. Yes, you can provide a very good argument that we live in the 21st century. The astronomical calculations that we have today did not exist many years ago. You know what? That's actually a statement that is quite incorrect. You know, the Babylonians 2,500 years ago had actually proven that they knew when the moon would be born and when the moon would not be born, when they would see the moon and they would not see the moon. It's a proven fact. They were much better than us 2,500 years ago. That's a proven fact. Yes, now someone tells us today, because we're not educated in that, that someone tells us today that, calculations didn't exist 1,400 years ago. That's an absurd statement. That's an absurd statement. If someone from 1,400 years ago came back to life, they would punch you right in the middle of the face. And they were pretty strong. We'd go down pretty hard. It's a fact. The calculations existed. When the Prophet ﷺ moved to Medina Munawwara, calculations existed. It's a proven fact that Jews went by calculation of the moon. And it was very possible if the Prophet ﷺ himself wanted to, could have gone by the calculation of the moon. And there are many groups, especially this year, that are actually promoting that we should accept the beginning and the end of the months based on calculation, so that the Ummah becomes united, and so that we don't have, one of the reasons that they've actually given is that we don't have financial difficulties. Because if you've been on the board of directors of a masjid, you do realize that when you rent a hall, you have to rent it for 2 days. You can't rent it for 1 day. And if the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds are kind enough to you, they will only charge you half rent for the day you don't use it, but they will still charge you half. And if you rent the convention center, you know that you have to pay full rent for 2 days. And so, due to financial difficulty, let us go based on calculation. That's one reason that they've given. Another very absurd reason that's been given, and this is something that we really need to think about and be very careful. And this is the first reason that's been given, that the act of sighting the moon is not an act of ibadah within itself. Who says? It's a fard kifayah to see the moon. It's a fard kifayah to see the moon. And when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned moon sighting, the Prophet ﷺ says, "See the moon." فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ If you're not able to see the moon, then complete the month. And if it was based on calculation, there was no need. They could have just started the new month. The Prophet ﷺ wanted us to see the moon. It's very simple. Now you have individuals that type up these documents and bring all these ayahs from the Qur'an which have nothing to do with the sighting of the moon, and use the word shahida and ra'a and try to bring a philosophical argument in front of us that there's no need to see the moon. You know, if people were smart enough, people in our last few generations were probably more smarter and closer to the sharia than us. They would have figured out a lot of these things before we would have figured them out. But no, they remained firm on seeing the moon. If that was something that became difficult for the ummah, then so be it. But that was something that was ingrained in the ummah. It is an act of ibadah. Islam is about following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not suiting what you want to do. Not fulfilling your desires. And if that's difficult, then so be it. I don't know if for those individuals that pray Salatul Eid at the fairgrounds, must have been about 2 or 3 years ago. This was the same year that the police chief made the commitment to fast the following year. This was that same day. An individual, a Jewish individual, Bart Charlotte, was the director of the back then National Conference for Community and Justice, and now they've been changed to Silicon Valley for Community and Justice. He mentioned something, and I don't know if anyone remembers. He says that I actually admire the Muslim community for what they do for the act of sighting the moon. That even though it's so difficult for you, you still make time for your faith. That if someone is told that Salatul Eid will be tomorrow, we come to Salatul Eid tomorrow. If we have to go to work, we will go to work, we'll go a little late. We may pray Eid in a masjid where the Salatul Eid happens at 7 o'clock in the morning so we can make it to work. But we still pray Salatul Eid. That is what Sharia is about, to follow the commands of the Sharia. And now we have this. Now let me bring the point home a little. Right now, the Prophet ﷺ reminded us that the month of Sha'ban, we have to be very vigilant in looking for the moon of Sha'ban so that our Ramadan would begin correctly. What is the date today of Sha'ban? There's an argument in that within itself. According to some, it's the 8th of Sha'ban. According to some, it's the 8th of Sha'ban. Which means that the moon was sighted last Thursday evening. It's a proven fact that the moon was not sighted last Thursday evening. The moon was sighted by one non-Muslim individual last Thursday evening. That's not shahada. We cannot accept that. And the only individual, and this is a worldwide sighting, I'm not talking about continental United States sighting, I'm talking about, by the way, when we use the word local moon sighting, that doesn't mean San Francisco Bay Area. Local means continental, the entire North America, excluding Mexico. But America and Canada. Going back to what I was saying, the moon was not sighted Thursday night. So be very careful. Today is not the 8th of Sha'ban. The moon was sighted Friday evening, which makes today the 7th of Sha'ban, which makes the 15th of Sha'ban next Saturday. The night of Ibadah is next Friday evening. That's something we need to be very careful about. And this is where we will get into the difference when we hit the month of Ramadan, because for many individuals, the month of Ramadan will begin early. According to some calculations, and I do not wish to go into detail, and we can discuss this at another time, and I do not wish to argue about it, we can discuss it kindly. It's a good possibility that within the Muslims in the United States, not in the world, there may be a difference of 2 days in Ramadan this year. We don't know this. We just read a few things and we make arguments. There may be a difference of 2 days. So instead of making matters more easy and trying to bring a solution to the Ummah of the United States, another problem has been created. Another problem, and I don't know where you get the idea of as soon as there's the conjunction of the moon, where the moon is born, you can declare the new month, right? The new month or the end of a month. That's a black moon. It's not physical. It's not. It can't be sighted anywhere. Even if it was within, even if it was right above your head when the moon is born, you can't sight it. I mean, we can go into arguments and arguments about this. But I just wish to leave everyone with something very simple. Think of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam simply said. Think of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam simply did. We are an ummah that believes in practicing everything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and did. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used a miswak, a siwak, a stick, a branch off of a tree, 1400 years later, people, because it's still a sunnah, we still use that. Right? If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed in the middle of the night, as difficult as it is, the ummah wakes up in the middle of the night to pray. We are an ummah that follows every action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We consider that following of every action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam an act of ibadah. No one has a doubt about that. Yes, some of us may be a little more vigilant than others, and those that are not, we know that we should try hard. So in our heart, we still believe that we follow the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the moon and began the new month. Looked at the moon, ended the new month. The companions, they went to various different parts of the world. When they went as far as the Sassanid Empire. They went everywhere. They went to all these different empires, but they remained firm on what they were taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we are under the impression in the 21st century that we live in a very technologically advanced society, in a very technologically advanced time, and what we have today didn't exist many years ago, the advancements that people had 700 and 800 years ago in relation to what we have today are probably better than what we have today. But we don't realize that because we have not studied history. Many of us have not understood history in relation to. They were probably a lot more advanced than what we do today. But still, the Muslims, when they went as far as Spain, they remained firm. They saw the moon, they began the new month. They saw the moon, they ended the month. It was very simple. There was no ikhtilaf. Everyone understood it. And if there was Ramadans and Eids in different places, it was because they said, we have not seen the moon and you have seen the moon. And hence, we have a different date. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a proven fact in history by itself. that they had different dates, and there was no ikhtilaf, there was no difference. And so as we come into our day and age, and when we have to make our decisions, we should follow exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did. Simply. And those organizations that are trying to bring this viable solution to the community, to the Muslim community in the United States, keep in mind, we've got, none of us have absolutely nothing against them. We need to keep in mind that in the last 20 years, they have changed their position so many times that you don't know what they're going to do next. It's a fact. They have. They're one of the greatest decisions they made in 1986 was changed. It was later changed again. When it came to Eid al-Adha, they changed. In other words, they're trying to do everything that suits their desire. The Prophet ﷺ said simply, and there are many masjids around the country. You know, there's a calculation of about 500 masjids right now and even more around the country, which simply say what we've been doing for the last 1400 years is what we're going to do for, you know, for as long as we live. And it's not difficult. It's not ancient. People will not make fun of it. Because many people fear that, you know, okay, you know, if we go by moonsighting and we don't accept this new position, people will consider us to be ancient. It's not ancient. It's what the Prophet ﷺ did. Simple. And every act of the Prophet ﷺ was filled with hikmah and wisdom. And those individuals that have been following this simple solution for the last so many centuries, they've never had any problems. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He subhanahu wa ta'ala guide every single one of us. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala make matters easy for every single one of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly unite the ummah. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, protect us. May He subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do things which make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. And I will leave everyone with one note. If within a community, if within a family, certain individuals begin or end their Ramadan or begin or end a month based on different dates, let us, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not point our fingers at anyone. Don't call anyone names. You know, that's the least we can do. Be respectful. Be respectful for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He subhanahu wa ta'ala not guide them because everyone thinks they're right. Rather say, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide every single one of us. All of us. We are all in need of His guidance, of His protection. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Bi rahmatihi ya Rahman Rahim. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum. A quick few announcement.